Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
And you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me as we just pursue this story once again. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw."
Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here."
And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You have well said, you have no husband. The woman said to him, "Sir, I have perceived that you are a prophet. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Verse 25 together. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Let's pray. Jesus, today we want to talk a little bit more about people who are thirsty. And Lord, in order for us to do so, we'll have to look at just our own lives, of the things that we thirst for, that we long for. And Lord, that you've always promised to us that we would not, our thirst would always be quenched. And we're finding out today that you're the person we've sought for all this time. I pray for the power of your word, Lord God, that you would just permeate the hearts of those who yet desire a closer walk with you and those who have yet to make a relationship with you. Holy Spirit, just direct them towards you, that'll fulfill all their longings and all their desires. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated. You know, actually, the more we think about it, and we'll have to come to the conclusion that the present state of the world is a reflection of its inability to quench the thirst of those who long for love and value and can't seem to find it. There's a saying that they say they're looking for love in all the wrong places, and that's kind of trite. It kind of defines things, but not really that much, because this thirst is further agitated by the accomplishments of a few that are rewarded with overnight success and financial compensation that's created more millionaires and billionaires in the history of time in the last 10 years than there hasn't been in the history of the world. And so some people say, well, if I had only been the person who thought of that, or thought of creating that app, or thought of creating this particular thing, it could be me. And people thirst for power and for wealth and for recognition, for something they could create that would make a difference in the lives of other people. I hope I can capture your attention for the next few moments, because there's some things we need to talk about. First thing is this. Have you ever found yourself thirsting for something only to discover that it did not come close to satisfying your expectations? Some of you bought it and drove it. Come on, work with me, people. Or you looked at the picture and you went to that restaurant and, oh Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You know, they can airbrush anything and make it look good. And some of the pictures that you had, you know, Photoshop for your, well, I'm going to leave that alone. But anyway, but you thirst for certain things, and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. Let me move on a little bit further. Have you gone to extreme measures to keep people from discovering the things that you really long and thirst for, that you believe would fulfill you as a person? There's a secret life that we have maybe not so secret as it has been before, but some people have kind of this hidden bucket list of things that they really like to have, and you say, well, I want to be a selfish person or a greedy person, but you really have a list of things that you feel like that would make your life so much better. But you know, only to discover that once you get it, it doesn't really satisfy. How about this? Doesn't it seem reasonable that people would engage themselves in risky or bad behavior in search for something to quench unmet perceived needs and desires? I use that word, that term, risky behavior. It's kind of a way to color the texture of what happens to people who find themselves doing and saying things they thought they would never, ever do in their life. People they used to criticize for being promiscuous or for doing other things, now they find themselves caught in the web of that type of behavior, and they can't find a way out. I'm not just talking about the excessive, the obvious, or excessive drug use, or excessive, alcohol, or whatever it happens to be, or sexuality, but it's just anything that you say, if I do more and more of it, I'll feel a lot better. Let me move right into what the scripture says. Thirsty people need living water. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I want you to interpret that in this particular sense, that there's a God longing in every person. I'll define it even more so today. But he says, you know, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. I want to take you back to early in your childhood. I want to take you back to the place of your innocence, where there's certain things, if you want to be this, you want to be that, or whether you want to be a baseball player or whatever, have to be a nurse or this type of thing. And somehow that appealed to you, but as time went on or things happened that no longer appealed to you, it was something else, and it was something else. But then the whole thing that this scripture is saying, you know, early I will seek you and sought that, it didn't work. But my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. There's no one to satisfy to point me in the right direction where I will have that fulfilled in my life. Well, let's look at this. Our need for living water is constant. Constant. The things that satisfy you today will not hold over for tomorrow. The things you long for today, there will be a whole set of needs. But when we thirst for God, God is the one who knows everything that we need. And he supplies, his mercies are renewed every morning. And he's able to supply with every day the things that we need. Have you ever found out you're a little bit short? And said, wow, oh, if I knew this was coming, I would have been prepared. But the Holy Spirit can prepare you. But the first thirst we have to have satisfied is a thirst for God. So a living need for that water. We must draw from the wellspring of the Lord's provision daily. Secondly, soul thirst is something that every person experiences. Now, what's the difference between soul thirst and worldly thirst? You can't really put your finger on it, but you know you've got it once you get it. It's just what I needed. Now, I want to help you decipher between what you need and what you want. I'm glad the Bible says, and my God shall supply everything you want. It is not in the Bible. My God shall supply all your need. N-E-D-E, no S. Read the Bible. And sufficient for the day are the troubles or problems thereof. Everything you need is in God. When you start out with him in the morning, I guarantee you, it's going to be a good day. A great day. How we quench our soul thirst will determine the depth of our relationship with God. Let me go on with this particular thought. It's easy to poison the wellsprings of life with judgment and condemnation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because here's this story about this woman. And unfortunately, she's coming to the well. We had a little bit of an outline of it last week. She's coming to this well, and she's coming to get water, and Jesus is there. But the thing that will spoil the wellspring of life is religion. Have you got good religion? Certainly, Lord. And you kill people with it? Certainly, Lord. You're But that's what we do, you know. Let me help you with that. It is very like the Samaritan woman who came to the well when she thought no one would be around. I brought that up last week. I want to just kind of speak a little bit more about that. She comes about 12 o'clock, supposedly the hottest time during the day. I don't know why she did this, but I can give my suspect words. Is she's tired of dealing with people. And so she comes at a time she doesn't expect to see anybody there. Well, the church will often poison a well of living water with judgment and condemnation. So she says, you know what? I don't want to meet up with any Samaritans. I don't want to meet up with any Jews. I want to come there where I can get my water and get on out of here. Well, the deal is this. We should see unsaved people as those who are thirsty for living water. You need to change your perspective on people who are not believers. Hello? First thing comes into my mind, you know, girl comes up, you know, dressed what we feel is inappropriate, which it probably is. I mean, foundational things aren't in the proper place, and, you know, the length of her garment is not covering all the necessities. You know the picture. What's she doing here? Looking as cheap as anything, looking as cheap as something, you know, from a dime store. You say ugly other things. And all of a sudden you have an attitude. Do you realize she's a thirsty person? Will you stop judging people by what they look? And help God to let you see behind what's going on? Some people feel that the only way they can get anybody's attention is just to have some shock value. Now, I remember when piercings and all that stuff came out, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. People are piercing everything they could find. Now, they're walking pin cushions. And I'm thinking, that had to hurt. But, well, it did. You know, they're piercing their ear, they're piercing their mouth, they're piercing their nose, they're piercing their tongue, they're piercing here and here and here, and they're still doing it. You know, here and there, every other place they can find. But you don't listen, think of it this way. They're willing to go through the pain so you will notice them. They say, this is my identity. No, it's not. It's to help you identify me. And I want to be unique. I want to be different than anybody else. So this is the way I do it. Would you stop your judgment and look beyond that and see what God could possibly do? Well, we should see those unsaved people. Ungodly people will sense judgmental and criticism of people who believe that they are holy because of their religious affiliation. Now, the lady before we have this discussion we talked about today, she says, oh, you know, I know all about this well. This is, you know, Jacob's well, blah, blah, blah. But here's how it goes. The water the world offers, you know, is because it's, you know, excuse me, the water the world offers is bottled and labeled and branded. Remember when the bottle craze came on the scene? And somebody said, I'm sorry, but I can only drink Dasani water. Isn't that right? Oh, Safeway brand water. Are you kidding me? Defile my lungs with Safeway water? It's Dasani. Say it. Let it roll off your tongue. Dasani. It got to the point that some people were buying cases of Dasani water to make Kool-Aid. Oh, it tastes so much fresher. You know, we are picking weird. But that's what we believe. And somebody could sell you on this. I saw this on TV the other day. This lady, I think it was Barbara Walters or whatever. No, it wasn't Barbara Walters. It was one of the other particular newscaster ladies. And they went to this particular place where they're having, you know, having a water shortage. And what they did is they took water from a sewage treatment plant. Oh, yes, they did. Ran it through all kind of mega filters and this type of thing. And they made water that was cleaner than what you could get out of a tap. Of course, the lady says, I ain't drinking that. Not in my lips. Oh, no. Because she knew where it came from, right? They finally got her to drink it, drink the water, and you know what? It was like they said. We can talk ourselves in or out of anything. But here's the legitimate thing here. Many people are more concerned about the packaging than the product. And if you're here today, you got yourself all wrapped up. Well, it's got to look like this before I'll accept it or before it'll be a part of my life. I got news for you. Your filter is not accurate. Your criterion that you put on your life and what you feel like you need to have or how you need to be validated will not work in the courtroom of debate or of circumstance that you're going to have to face. Well, it takes courage and compassion to offer living water. It goes like this. Some people are seeking relief from pain of their situation that they're experiencing in life. What does that mean? It means when we take the time to speak with those who feel that they have no right to be heard, we quench people's thirst for significance and value. We take the time. I had a plan this week. I was going to go out. I was going to take my little Max trip and meet people. Well, it didn't work last week, but I already got it figured out for this week. It's going to happen on Friday. In case you hold me accountable on Friday, I'm taking the Max. You say, why? Because I'm old, it only costs a dollar. It's cheaper than parking. I'm going downtown with a group. We're going to sing for the Christmas tree thing down there. But anyway, the deal is, or the lighting of the tree. But the deal is, but I'm looking forward to it because I know I'm going to meet somebody on there, on the Max. And to your evaluation, to mine, they may be different, strange. But I'll tell you, I won't meet them driving in my car. Hello. What I'm trying to say is that when we take the time to speak to those who we feel that they have no right to be heard, we quench their thirst. The woman at the well marveled that a Jewish rabbi would even speak to her. First thing she says, when he says something to her, give me something to drink, she says, don't you know the drill? Samaritans do not speak. Jews don't speak to Samaritans. Did you forget I'm a woman? Hello? Why are you speaking to me? Some people want to follow the rules, but it's rules that basically will protect them from disappointment. And let me just ferret that out for you a little bit, that Jesus offers lasting solutions that will quench the thirst for the relief from guilt and shame. I need to go to Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 and 7. Listen to this. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give from the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now notice what he says here. This is the Alpha and Omega speaking. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. That means that which the world needs, Jesus willingly gives to anyone who's thirsts. And it doesn't matter what they look like, what they sound like. Jesus says, if they're thirsty, I'll give them a drink. And they'll never, ever thirst again. Now that's hard for us to fathom, but hopefully I can convince you these next few moments, because many people will spend their entire life in search of something that Christ offers to all who admit their need. And one of the hardest things that we have to deal with people, ourselves included, is admitting we need it. Oh, I'm fine. It's easy to say, oh, I'm fine. Oh, that's okay. No, go ahead. Don't. And believe me, I can be the chiefest person. Oh, I can do that because I think I can do it myself. I can do it better than you can. Hello? How arrogant are we? Because I want to tell you, many times we're not fine. And when we admit our need and we humble ourselves, God can supply the thirst that we really have, and even better than we thought it could be supplied. Somebody say amen, because it's true. Because see, you thought you had it all together when you walked in here, and you found out, I'm lacking a few things. Well, let's look at what he's talking about here. Our thirst quenched will usher us into everlasting life, and our search for belonging and love will be satisfied forever. Well, here's the thing I need to bring you into that will help you understand this whole setting, and we're going to really tear it apart in the few weeks to come. Jesus came to a place that was filled with tradition and religion. In other words, there is a cross relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. I'll give you a little bit of history about them. Now, Samaritans are not godless people. Actually, where they originate from is they were one of the they identify with one of the tribes of Abraham many, many years ago. And throughout history, they were marginalized. They were set off to the side, as it were, even though they believed in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. They subscribed to that. They believed in what Moses had taught as far as it's concerned. But there, it's interesting how things change. Somebody made a decision that these Samaritans just don't do it like the way we want to have it done. Let's put them off to the side here. Sometimes you will arbitrarily be put off to the side just because somebody thought you ought to be. That's where prejudice starts from. If you think there's some formula for prejudice, you are absolutely 100% wrong. You say, well, it has to do with race, and it has to do with color, and it has to do with certain things. It's when somebody person decides, I don't like that type of person, and they're never coming to my house. That's where it starts from. Or they don't do it like the way I think it should be done, so therefore let's put them out of our particular place. Because they were essentially the same type of people. They were from Abraham's family. And someone says, do you know the way she fries her chicken? Girl, she fries her chicken in an electric frying pan, and everybody knows you got to use a cast iron skillet to get the flavor. The flavor comes from the iron, comes up through the oil, through the flour. I mean, we come up with some nonsense. And the bad thing about it is we believe it. So, honey, until she gets rid of that electric fryer, honey, I ain't never having chicken in her house. Now, you go ahead and laugh, but you know that's the truth. And we will separate folks, and we'll say, and I'm going to pass that over. I'm a connoisseur of chicken. I admit it. And I like it certain ways, and other ways I don't like it. But am I going to put my preferences off on you? Absolutely not. You can miss the best if you want to. My point in saying this is we latch onto things that make no sense. And then we start preaching this gospel. Let me help you with this. Their belief were built around the Pentateuch, and their claim to be descendants. And Jesus was right in the right place at the right time. I want to go back to one of the scriptures that just read this real quickly. He says, verse 4 of chapter 4 says, but he needed to go through Samaria. Do you know that you needed to be here today? Oh, I just made a decision, you know. It was all right. I figured I probably should go to church. That'd probably be a good thing to do. Mm-mm. You're not that smart. You needed to be here today. And if you leave too early, you will miss what God had for you. Now, that's not arrogant. It's just the fact that God makes appointments for us, and some of them that we have to come into agreement with. It goes like this. Well, but here's why Jesus was there. He needed to go through Samaria, but the Bible says this, and it makes no sense to us. The Bible says that Jesus was thirsty. Where do you get water from? A well. Hello? So he had a genuine thirst. It was this, you know, I'm going to pretend like I'm thirsty. I'm going to hijack this woman's coming there, and I'm going to preach the gospel to her, and she's going to get saved. Really? Your little plan, as you figured it out, God does not need your manipulation. He'll take something that's genuine and he'll make something powerful out of it. And so he comes in with a genuine thirst. And the Bible says also that Jesus was tired on his journey. He suffered physical, you know, tiredness as far as that's concerned. But when you get so tired and so broke down that the Holy Spirit cannot intersect you in the commonality of life, I'm serious. You're not walking in the Spirit. I'm just too tired to do such and such. Is that you, or is the Holy Spirit, can the Holy Spirit take you a little bit different or further than you thought you could go? So he allows his physical need to be turned into a spiritual encounter. I want to challenge you on this. I'm challenging it myself. Is do not allow your flesh to influence what the Spirit wants to do with your life. Look beyond the situation. Jesus, I know I'm kind of tired, but do you want me to really participate in this? If the Lord says yes, go his direction. You'll never come out wrong. So here we go. God's timing is always perfect to meet the needs of thirsty people. People will come to a place where there's the most opportunity of their thirst being met. If you find a place, it's good food or good whatever thing you like, you know what you usually do? Tell somebody, you need to go there. Or if you're hungry for, or if you like desserts, honey, I know where to send you. They got pies like you would not believe. And if you want to know, I got a place I can send you. They will work you over. You'll waste your waistline over, but that's another story. I can't be responsible for the damage. But the deal is this. When you find something, you're willing to share, folks. Here it goes. They will come at a time, sometimes it may not be convenient. Okay, you won't admit it, I will. Sometimes my idea of wanting to get things into an order that makes sense to me, that I've missed encounters that God want me to have, and I pray that I'll get better at this, that will never be an issue before, but it's something that I struggle with, because I get kind of, you know, I want to get this done and that done, blah, blah, blah. And interruptions, I don't handle them that well, but I'm handling them better. I want to tell you that here it was in the middle of the day, and this lady's about to get some water from the well. And Jesus says to her, give me a drink. He says, what are you talking about, give me a drink? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, I'm a woman, it's the middle of the day, you don't have a bucket. You know, I got a bucket, and what makes you think I'm going to give you some water? Excuse me, I'm going to get my water, peace out, okay? That would have been you. Until the Holy Spirit took over and the conversation started. Well, he violated all the rules of protocol where they were established between the Jews, and he asked her to do something for him that seemed quite out of the ordinary. And Jesus was not afraid of sinners or people that were classified as ungodly by the culture. And you know, the other part I love about this is it wasn't, I don't think, accidental. But had the disciples been there, if there would have been, oh my goodness, so much controversy, there would have been a debate. Pastor, are you really talking to her? She's a Samaritan. Do you realize what Samaritans do and this type of thing? It'll ruin our reputation. We're going to ruin. I mean, all, and Peter would have been a mess. He'd been cast, in the name of Jesus, I pray you, you child of darkness, get out of here. I'll be asking the master or something like that. You don't deserve to be in our presence. That's why they wasn't there. Now, Matthew was like, he's kind of the inquisitive person, or Luke said, excuse me, Jesus, I have a question. Oh, no, I don't want to cause any condemnation. But according to the law of the Jews, we really don't have conversations with these people. And this could ruin our reputation. So if I were you, I would just not talk to her. And we'll forget this even happened. Yeah. But Jesus was about to allow a sinner to meet his physical needs. And that seems so out of the ordinary. While Jesus was strategic in his outreach to the Samaritan woman, his disciples, you know, could have confused the issue, but he set the stage for the woman to admit her dehydration of her spirit. Now, listen to this. In order for her to experience the quenching of her thirst, she needed to learn how to stoop and drink. He said, why'd you throw that in there? Let me give you a little story. I believe it was in New York on one of the avenues there, downtown Manhattan. And there was a water fountain installed there. was just installed there. And there were people, as you know, New York is a melting pot. People come from all different nations. And on the water fountain, there was a little sign that says, "Stoop to drink." Stoop to drink, Mom. And so people would come up there and they'd get a drink. But this other person comes along. He sees the water fountain and he's searching around. Where's the button you push? He's looking up and down. This time he's looking really confused. He doesn't speak English. And so another person comes along and points at the sign and says, "Stoop to drink." Doesn't matter. He doesn't read. And so finally, someone comes along and they make eye contact. He says, "Watch me." He stoops down. Well, it had an electric eye on it. As soon as you got down to it, the water comes out. Stoop to drink. But you have to experience it in order for it to work that way. We give out all kinds of signals, but you know something? It doesn't matter. Until we demonstrate it, they won't get their thirst quenched. You get what I'm going after? We have to demonstrate to folks how it works. Not just, can't you read that sign? What's wrong with you? If you're thirsty, then do what it says to do. You Pharisees make me crazy. Stoop and drink. He says, and then, oh. Can you imagine how God wants to change the way we do things? So, it illustrates she needed to be released from, she needed to be delivered from all the reasons why they should not be talking, but from all the hurt and prejudice she should experience. And Jesus was about to free her from all the pain that she had experienced in her life. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Religion will never be removed, will never remove the thirst for God. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, 13. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 29, 13 is coming. I sense it. It's just around the corner. Jeremiah 29, 13 is going to rise from the ashes. It's not there? There it is. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." There's never been a person that has sought after God with their own heart that has not found him. Not one. That's what that scripture says. And some of you are here today. You say, "How do you know that?" Holy Spirit drew you here. But the world is looking for something that will satisfy every longing and desire. Temporary relief from pain is often sought and found with the vices of this world, and satisfaction is only temporary with things and opportunities that we purchase, various things. The fact that there will always be something bigger and better is tormenting to those who seek the best only to discover that it's only temporary relief or satisfaction. Now, let me talk about this woman for these last few minutes that I want to share with you. The woman was expressing her heart and expectation to deal with her problems once and for all. She says, "You know, if this water is available, then give me the drink. I'll take that. That'll work." And so she was willing to believe that she could drink water and never have to thirst again, and she would at least have dealt with her physical need that was going on. Then, though she expressed a desire for relief from her physical struggle, she really wanted relief from her emotional bondage. She says, "Give me this water that I'll never thirst again." Was she talking about just her thirst as a person? I don't think so. Living water? I think she got it. Well, here's the part I think you need to really know. When she responded to being asked to call her husband, she expressed her disappointment by saying this, "I don't have a husband." And you know what? She wasn't lying. She said, "I don't have a husband." But somehow she wasn't ready to talk to Jesus about the very idea. Here's a stranger and telling him that, "You know, I've tried marriage 5 times and all 5 times I was abandoned." I want to walk into your pain for a moment using this woman who's paved the way for you. When Jesus says, call your husband, he wasn't trying to embarrass her. He wasn't trying to, you know, basically rivet her to all the things, all the mistakes she made. Well, the first thing she says is, I don't have a husband. And that's when her pain is just being getting ready to be exposed. I'm living with somebody right now. I've given up on marriage. Marriage will kill you. Marriage will hurt you. People will tell you lies and stories. It'll be easier for me to walk away from this relationship than it will be to experience another broken marriage. Now, I say this, and I say it with as much tenderness as I possibly can. That is how our culture is right now. And living together is no big deal with folks right now. They're, oh, I'm living with my boyfriend. This is my fiance. We're going to get married in 6 years. Or maybe 10. We're not really sure. Or they'll say, oh, we haven't set a date. Don't even try to set one because somebody's going to leave. Don't be setting no dates. Don't be telling nobody nothing. Part of it's fueled by the culture that says you don't have to make commitment, but another part of it is people have been in relationships they thought were going to work, and it didn't work. They says, I will not go through the pain again. I just want to put it on a level where I can handle it. Let me show you where I'm going with this. Jesus did not call this out to embarrass her. Jesus let her know that he was offering her something that would deal with her deepest hurts. And Jesus let her know that he knew her failures, but offered her living water in spite of that. Every person in this room that feels like you failed and you don't deserve Jesus offering you eternal life or living water, that's a lie from the devil. He offers it to you in spite of the mistake that you're living in right now. He offers you living water in spite of the addiction you have right now. What? Jesus didn't say, go home, kick out your boyfriend, and live celibate for 6 months, and we'll see if we can work something out. Am I right about it? He offered her living water, and it was up to her at that particular point, because once you have the living water that you crave, the Holy Spirit will direct you to make right decisions, to put things in their right alignment, and you'll have the freedom you've always looked for. We're so busy trying to clean fish before we catch them. Oh, Jesus. I just got a video and it wasn't pretty. Oh, Lord. Worship team, better make your way up here because I'm getting in deep right now. She goes for her default mode and she says, you know, most people have a little religion. They can offer, says, well, our father had this well, and we worship here. And Jesus says, woman, believe me, the hour is coming, and neither is coming, that this mountain or Jerusalem, they'll worship the Father, they'll worship him in spirit and truth, which means this. Too often people, I need to say this to you, most people have a little religion they can offer in a conversation. You know, people have religion. You say, well, they don't have religion. They help the poor. They help the needy. They'll be throwing a little money in the bucket for the bell ringers during Christmas time. But I want to let you know that won't satisfy. What it means is that, you know, they help the homeless, or they're a non-judgmental person of all the people who've taken a different lifestyle approach. You know, I don't have anything to say about people who are living in their dream, or they're living with a person they love, blah, blah, blah. And so that's their religion, is living and letting people live. But some people may remember one religious person that made an impact on their life. And you know what it is? Too often, is some Christian that wasn't living what they were supposed to live in, and that's what is painted on their spirit. some hypocrite, some half-baked, you know, lying person. They said, well, if religion is like that, I don't want anything to do with it. Spirit and truth are the key elements that are being sought by thirsty people. Believing there is no God, I'll stop with this, does not take away spiritual thirst. You know why some people have adopted the whole idea that there is no God? Because they're tired of the pain, the hurt that they've experienced of trying to believe in God, then only to discover that to them it was a scam. And Jesus offers to her, he says, I want you to have everlasting life that you'll never thirst again. Today, there's one message I was after to really drive home to you. It was the idea of this woman who would say, you know, I really believe, I really know that there's got to be something real out there, but I'm not willing to be so vulnerable that, you just tell me, why are you here? Why are you with me? Why are you bothering me? And Jesus says, when he asked her where her husband was, when he asked her what was going on, it wasn't the idea, it wasn't the thought that I got you. But you can have everything you've been looking for. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, every person coming to the place of today that this could be and probably is the day when things are going to change for you. While your heads are bowed, while your eyes closed, I want to tell you a little bit of something that I believe will be helpful to you. The exchange that Jesus gave, and when he didn't walk away from her, when she admitted that she had five husbands, somehow that nestled into her heart a belief of saying, for the first time in my life, somebody told me they're going to love me. They're not going to leave me abandoned. I want to speak right toward that abandonment issue that some of you may be experiencing right now, that of the people that have walked away from you because of the choices, because of the mistakes, because of the sin that was in your life, and now you say, well, I'll never allow myself to be hurt by anyone again. I'll do the best I can to do it on my own. Jesus is saying, come to me today. I can heal you. I can restore you. I can allow you to be a part of my kingdom. I'm going to pray for you, and while I'm praying specifically for people who feel abandoned, who feel lonely, who feel afraid. That if they make a step like this, that if they're disappointed, they have no place to go. And they're holding on to that place. Lord Jesus, in the same way that you told this woman that she would never, ever thirst again, if she partook of the water that you were going to give her, it wasn't retained in the bucket that was going to be drawn, but it would minister deep into her soul, into the essence of her being, that would satisfy what no one else could satisfy. There isn't a person, there isn't a thing, there isn't an experience that can satisfy what we need right now. Holy Spirit, would you release people from guilt? Would you release people from shame?
Yes.
Would you release people from the hurt and allow them to admit how much they need you, Jesus? With every head bowed, with every eye closed, you came here this morning and Jesus knew you were coming. And this is your time to really open up your heart and accept Jesus. Without looking around to anybody, I want you to admit in your heart, I need Jesus today. And I'm willing in just a moment when everybody stands to come down these aisles and to say, make a statement of fact of coming to know a Jesus that can change my life, and I'm willing to give it up to him. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Say, I need to do that. I want to do that today. Because Jesus is here. Anybody like that? Because God is able to do that in your life. I'm going to wait just for a moment because the Holy Spirit can do that in your life today. God bless you. Yeah. Somebody else says, I need to do that. Anybody else? Because if it was just for you, that's great. But I believe there's probably several more people who need to do that. I'll wait just about 10 seconds. Anyone else? Any person says, you know, that's me. I'm going to do it. Because Jesus is here available to me. I'm not going to belabor the fact. Would you stand to your feet? That person raised your hand. Would you just make your way down here? We're going to say that. We'll pray for you today. Everyone stand to your feet. Just step out in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.